Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
10:49. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. I remember, as if it were yesterday, the first time that I saw Blue Man Group. I had heard about this really quirky little show that was, part music, part choreography, part performance art, that originally had opened in New York. I think it was off Broadway, New York, when the whole thing started, and then had gone to Boston after that. And then here in Chicago in 1997, it literally seems like it was yesterday, but it was 19 years ago now that they brought this avant-garde show to the Briar Street Theater, right over by Belmont and Halsted. And, everybody thought, well, what is this show? You know, we had heard about it. How's it going to work? And you went in and you were so completely captivated and overwhelmed by what was happening. The word of mouth started spreading of how different this whole show was. And, you know, it opened in Chicago. It went on to open in other cities around the United States. Now, Blue Man Group is all over the United States. It's in 15 countries all over the world. It's everywhere. I mean, truly, it is a worldwide sensation, all built from this little avant-garde show that started in New York 25 years ago. Chris Wink is the gentleman that's started it all. We're trying to make a connection with him here now. I think there's a little problem with the phone. So hopefully we'll be able to make that connection and talk with Chris. I wonder what some of your reactions were when you went to see Blue Man Group. I was blown away by it. I don't even know how many times I've gone to see it because they've changed the show. They've, adjusted the show, altered the show, like that through the years. So I've gone back and seen different incarnations of the show. And each time, there's a sort of a certain sameness to it all. But each time also such an originality, such a creativity to the show that I've really loved it. But that said, I've sent people, I've told people you got to go see Blue Man Group, and I've had people, go and see it and say, "What were you talking about? I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I didn't like it." People have had really mixed reactions about it. I remember when I sent my mom to go see the show right when it had first opened. She enjoys theater, so I thought, she's going to like it. My mom would be one of those people that said that she, it's like, what did you send me to? What was the show that you sent me to go see? It was nothing like she had ever experienced before. And I guess there's something for everyone along the way, right? I think by now this isn't too much of a spoiler alert to say that, at the end of the show, they shower the audience with rolls and rolls and rolls of paper. It was a big shock when it happens, but it's relentless. It just never stops. These rolls and rolls and rolls of paper that come showering down out of the audience from the back of the theater.
Do they still not talk at all?
I think I haven't seen it in maybe 5 years or so, but it's still a muted show.
That was the strangest thing, because my brother and I went with my parents. They brought us. This would have been, 2000s or so, and you're just wait. Are they going to say anything? Are they going to talk?
Yeah, and it's
and they don't.
That's part of what I think is the genius of the show. That it's mime like. It sort of makes fun of that genre at the same time. It doesn't take itself seriously. The music is what it is. They do interactive stuff with the audience. It's very, very, very clever through the years how they've been able to morph the show and change the show through the years. The very fact that it's been running in theaters for 25 years says something that it's been running here in Chicago since 1997. 19 years and no signs of slowing up for this show. People love going to see Blue Man Group, and it's a lot of fun. You know, you go see the show. It's in the Lakeview neighborhood. There's a lot of great restaurants right in that neighborhood. You know, it's like a really nice night out. It's not crazy expensive like a night at the theater can sometimes be. So, you know, it's something to kind of put on your radar that if you haven't gone to see Blue Man in a while, it may be something that you want to do, because it has evolved. I mean, if you went to see it, like Sam was saying, in the year 2000, the show has probably changed somewhat. You know, there are still some things which are really popular parts of the show, but some things that have changed. It's not like you're going to go see exactly the same show that you went to see 16 years ago, unlike this show, which, you know, we pretty much do exactly the same show every week. We really should tweak this up a little bit. With Chris Wink, the co-founder of Blue Man Group. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning. We were just talking while we were waiting for you to get on the line here. We're just talking about our histories with the show. You know, and I was telling you, you know, remembering the first time that I saw it and how blown away I was. Everybody talking about, you know, how jaw-dropping it was the first time that they went to see Blue Man. I mean, as somebody who was there from the very beginning and started off, I mean, you must be completely blown away by the literally worldwide reaction to this little show that you guys started.
Absolutely. The whole thing's been an amazing, wonderful sort of trip. And, you know, we didn't have any expectations, really. We couldn't expect, you know, three bald and blue guys walking around silently and banging on stuff and playing with various pop culture products to you know, really connect necessarily, but it really did, and we're thrilled. We've been thrilled the whole time.
Why do you think that this has connected in such a way? I mean, it was such an avant-garde and such a different thing when it first came out, and really still is in many ways, but what do you think that has connected with people in such an obviously profound way all these years?
Well, I don't know if I can define it myself completely, but I'll tell you, you know, first of all, we made it a show that was meant for us. Like, what would we want to see? And I think part of it is, you know, we didn't really have the aspiration to be avant-garde. We just were a little bit bored, and we were fans of new things. You know, we were fans of punk rock when it came out and hip hop when it came out. And we were sort of restless, and we wanted the newness, but not necessarily the pretentiousness that the word avant-garde implies.
Right. Yeah.
We were thrown in here in New York sometimes with the performance art group. Was, you know, performance art word was, you know, phrase was applied to us, but we never applied it to ourselves. We didn't feel comfortable with that because we knew some of the performance art that was happening, and it seemed, you know, we didn't have a problem with it, but we just didn't feel like that's what we were doing. We were more vaudevillians, variety show, you know, part of that tradition, but we just wanted to reinvent it. We wanted to be artful vaudevillians, not performance artists.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of, you know, the fun of this show is that it doesn't take itself seriously as well. And it's brilliantly funny. It is, you know, different, you know, when you go see it. But at the same time, it almost is making fun of itself. You know, it realizes what it is. And I think there's that sort of self-effacing quality in it also that people sort
Absolutely.
Of love. The current productions that are out there right now, how closely do they resemble what you originally put on stage 25 years ago?
Well, you know, they've evolved a lot, but there's a thread that hasn't changed. You know, we think of the shows as having a kind of primal, tribal, primordial thread. That's the paint on the drums. That's the crazy paper finale where everything goes nuts and it's a big party. It's the playing of the PVC pipes. It's that visual sort of primal ritual, you know, that is our attempt at doing something both universal but also ancient, almost like something that would have happened in the caves, you know, of Lascaux or something, you know. And that part, you know, we don't really feel a need to change that. It's the technology and pop cultural side that has to change to stay the same, essentially, you know, because you have to stay up with the times. You can't have a pop cultural joke or reference to something's, you know, 10 years old or 15 right. or 20, you know.
Right.
So that's always changing. Plus, we're always just developing material. If we get some excited about something, we, you know, put it in. And so there's certainly aspects that have stayed the same, the paint on the drums, but a lot of things like the piece with, you know, the smart device and other elements that we've been working on, some of our new music, you know, that stuff we just put in because we like it.
Well, congratulations on the 25 years. One of my most prized possessions that I have, I interview a lot of celebrities. I have a lot of pictures with A-listers, but one of my most prized photographs that I have is when I did a story when the show opened here in Chicago, and I went, you know, backstage, and they blue manned me up. They made me a blue man, and I have a picture of myself as a blue man. I have to find it and put it on the web so people can see
that.
It. But it's fantastic.
I remember that.
Yeah, really fun.
And, you know, we broke it. That was a big stretch for us. That, you know, that hasn't happened a lot. So that is that picture, and that is worth at least $5-$10.
exactly right. Blue Man Group going strong at the Breyer Street Theater in Chicago. Chris Wink is the co-founder. Congratulations, and thanks for joining us, Chris. We really appreciate it.